Welcome, my name is Tania. Welcome to 12 Elements, Yoga and Wellbeing podcast, Mind the Gap. Bridging the gap between life and your mat.
Welcome, Amal. Welcome to Mind the Gap podcast. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much, Tania. It was my pleasure.
I'd like to start from the beginning, like I do with everyone. Could you give us a little bit of background of where you were born and where you grew up?
Of course. So I was born in a little city by the beach called Karachi.
Uh-huh.
It is the south of Pakistan. That's where I grew up.
Wow.
So yeah, through and through Karachiite. And I have been living in Brussels for the last 4 years.
Wow, is that all?
4 years, yeah. And to me, actually, when I hear myself say it, I'm like, whoa, 4 years. But yeah.
Wow. So growing up where you did you come from a religious or spiritual family?
Yeah, so I don't know if you know, but Pakistan, most of us were born Muslim.
Okay.
So we kind of grew up in that environment with Islamic values, the Sharia law, all of that. My parents were not very religious when I was younger. So I like to say that I've seen both sides of the spectrum because I grew up, and when I was quite young, they were discovering themselves.
They had you quite young.
Well, yes, by my standards, yes. My mom was 23 when she had
me.
Wow,
yeah.
Yeah.
Old school style.
Yep, exactly. That's how they do it in the subcontinent. Yep. And then by the time I hit my teens, that's when I really saw my mom get into religion.
Right.
And in a scholarly way, because she was a big reader, an avid reader. So I noticed that there were all kinds of books coming into her bedroom, new books, Islamic studies by scholars, and I noticed a change in her attitude towards things, whereas she started becoming a little gentler, incorporating more religious practice, and then slowly my dad followed suit, as men do.
Go, mom. So how did you discover fitness? Now, I haven't actually asked you this, but have you actually taken a yoga class?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's so funny that you ask because I did it just recently.
Really?
Yep. I did a power yoga class.
Whoa, you went straight into the hardcore.
Straight into the hardcore. I've done it once before about 7 to 8 years ago. And I'm someone who's a gym rat. So
I know.
Lift weights and I go for, you know, the bench press and the squats and the deadlifts. When it comes to yoga, usually I have to confess, I'm afraid of getting bored.
Oh, wow.
Because my brain tends to wander. So that's why I chose power yoga, because I was like, okay, it has the word power in it.
And was it a great class?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I struggled.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, because lifting uses different muscles from yoga. And often you don't know that until you get into particularly a power yoga class. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely. And I think anything unfamiliar, right, feels like a challenge. So I think recruiting those muscles in different ways in that setting, I felt super vulnerable, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, amazing. How did you come into fitness then? What was your first session? I can't imagine, like, in Pakistan growing up by the beach in a small village where you did, how did gym, did you have gyms there at school, or was like health and fitness like something, and I guess well-being was something on the cards?
So Karachi is actually not a village, it's a metropolis. So melting pot of people. I think with fitness, it goes back to when I was 16. I'm not proud of this story, but I was a teenager in school. As per tradition, we have a prom or a farewell.
Okay, like in America.
And the girls wear saris in which your belly is exposed.
Yes.
So at 16, and this was a time when obviously the skinny body was revered, and my 16-year-old belly was about to be put on display for the world to see, I was like, oh my gosh, something has to be done about the flab hanging off. And that was the only thing I cared about.
Really?
So I ran on a treadmill that my dad had bought for health reasons. And that was my very first introduction to what was then to become fitness.
Wow. So then arriving into Belgium and into Brussels, how did your fitness adventure begin? Like, what was the starting point for you as a business?
So as a business, it started for me way before I moved to Brussels.
Uh-huh.
Before coming here, I was actually running a boot camp out of my own home in Karachi.
That's awesome.
So we have quite large houses there and gardens and driveways and living spaces in general. So I kind of set up in the driveway and garden of my own home, my parents' uh-huh. home. I put everything I had into kind of setting up mirrors, equipment. I kind of painted boxes for box jumps, etc. Uh-huh. I went all in. And I quit my day job and I started doing 2 classes a day, which then became 6 classes a day.
Wow.
When I was seeing about 60 women daily.
Really? So what kind of women would come to this boot camp in your house in the garage outside?
I wish there was a gentler term, because I think it was so much more than boot camp, but it brought together women of all ages.
Uh-huh.
And lifestyles.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the essence of it, really.
Yeah.
It was all about community.
That's awesome. Wow, amazing.
Thank you.
So from that, coming to Brussels, and what brought you to Brussels? Was it fitness or a different?
It was a 4-letter word called love.
Oh, okay. We all know about that.
Yeah. So my husband and I came together. His work brought him here.
Okay.
And I followed him.
Wow. So you've kind of set up a little bit of a fitness empire here in Brussels, which I think is amazing. And I would really like to know about that. But before you were into fitness, you actually were a baker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, you know, challenge in my mind, how do you become from a baker to fitness? I mean, obviously it makes sense. Like you work out so you can eat. But how did you make that transition?
It's so interesting, actually. People call it my grand long game. It was all about getting them to eat and then getting them to burn it off.
Feeding them first. Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. I have a massive sweet tooth, by the way. So I started baking outside of it was in uni days, and I ran a little home bakery just to make some extra pocket money on
uh-huh.
the side. So I started off as a student.
What were you studying?
I was in art college. So
okay.
I did communication design.
Okay. So you had time to bake, because I was like, what was she studying?
Yeah, no, actually it was tough, but I think baking was kind of an outlet, and
yeah.
it still is.
Yeah.
I find it to be massive.
Relaxing.
Stress release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you like to bake?
Everything sweet.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a savory cook.
Mm-hmm.
But with baking, the first thing I ever baked and sold was a red velvet cupcake.
Ooh, okay, delicious. Absolutely delicious. So what kind of fitness classes do you teach? And do you teach independently? Do you teach at other studios in Brussels? Like, give me the drill.
Yeah, so I teach currently at Animo,
mm-hmm.
and I do a class called Train.
Never heard of that before.
It's like a HIIT class. So
okay.
You have a room and it's divided into 2 stations. So
uh-huh.
you have a skill mill or a cardio machine on the
okay.
left, and on the right you have a whole range of weights.
Right.
You kind of move between the two and you work up a sweat.
Right.
And in 50 minutes you thank your stars that it's all over.
50, not 15, right?
50.
Okay. And then you also have personal clients
I
as well,
used
do
to,
you?
Yeah. During the pandemic and when I first moved here, I did focus a lot of time on one-on-one training,
uh-huh.
online coaching, but now it is just group classes.
Wow, okay. So what would you say that has been your biggest self-realization and changing points for you in your life to date, from studying what you were studying to being a baker to moving country to being a little bit of a fitness guru here in Brussels? Like, you've had, like, so many lives and you're still so very young. Yeah. I don't know how old you are, but I know that you're very young. You don't have to reveal. It's okay. But, like, you've done a lot of things in a short amount of time, yeah, which is really remarkable.
That's very kind of you to say. Firstly, I'm not as young as I look. It's just good genes.
Good, very good genes.
But I think the point of self-actualization came from, a big part of it came from moving here. Mm. It kind of completely threw me out of my comfort zone because I had a great thing going with my boot camp, yeah, my baby. And when I came here, I had to kind of start from scratch.
Absolutely.
And I had friends my age who were doing great things with their lives and getting promotions and moving from point A to point B to point C to D. And here I was having to start from scratch in a society where I didn't speak the language.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed this about Brussels, but it's very big on kind of who knows who, mm-hmm, and networking and word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come in raw and you're the outsider,
mm-hmm,
it takes a lot to actually...
It takes a long time. Yeah, yeah, I've noticed
that. Break through, especially, yeah, if you don't speak the language.
Yeah. So even teaching and seeing the people every day, I think a lot of expat teachers have had the same...
Yeah,
I have the same feeling, and it just takes Belgian people a little bit of time to open up to you, but once they do, they love you for life, hopefully, as I'm engaged to one, but it just takes them a lot, you know, a little bit longer, because, like, you know, the Australian, like, well, I'm Australian, and the American mentality, we're just like straight away, hi, what's up, you know, what's going on, and mm-hmm, Belgian people are like, ooh, it just takes them a little bit longer to warm up to you, yeah, and to open, and I haven't spent a lot of time in Brussels, but I get the vibe that it's very much who you know, and getting to really know people, to trust you, to introduce you to other people.
Absolutely.
And things like that. Yeah. So you've done very well. That's what I mean. Like, I can see that from the outside, you know, being an outsider myself, what you've achieved here, I think it's, you know, really remarkable. So good for you.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Good. So in the way of fitness and how everything is changing, I know it is in yoga, and particularly, you know, I see yoga before COVID and then after COVID. In the next 5 years, do you see the fitness industry changing at all? I mean, social media now has such a big input, particularly, mm-hmm, Instagram, and there's like every, you know, there's a joke, every second fitness model is from Australia, oh, and blonde, and like, you know, same with yoga teacher, like every second girl on Instagram is a yoga teacher and fitness. But then there are people like yourself and myself been doing this like a long time now. So how do you see yourself elevating in the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself kind of moving into?
I don't, you know, I've thought about this question a lot, and I don't think I have a concrete answer as to where I see myself. I do know that it involves a very important word that you just said, which is moving,
mm-hmm,
and forever staying fluid and open,
yeah,
to educating myself and,
yeah,
change. And I also like that you mentioned social media, because social media is kind of one of my side hustles. And I love it because I try to see the good that it brings.
Yeah, and it can, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It integrates people from all around the world to,
yeah,
people and situations and events that one would not have access to.
Yeah, and I think now there's a culture of being more real,
mm-hmm,
and more raw, and,
yeah,
seeing real bodies, seeing stretch marks, seeing authentic women not put on a face, and just speak their truth when it comes to fitness. And I think that's definitely something that I want to cling on to.
Yeah.
I don't want to let go of that. So no matter how the fitness industry changes and what developments come about, I do always want to stay vulnerable,
yeah,
and tell the real story,
yeah,
behind.
I think it's interesting as well, because a lot of people associate yoga as being something that changes women's perceptions and mindsets of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think we forget that also being in the fitness industry, I'm sure you've had women come up to you that have been different sizes,
yeah,
and all different kinds of nationalities and places in their lives. And I'm sure, I mean, I used to be a gym junkie, like back in the day as well. Like I've been lifting and doing weights for a long time. And I know for me, it gave me the same kind of satisfaction, different from yoga, but it was an outlet for me, like a mental outlet. When I didn't know yoga and I had kept my emotions inside and I wasn't able to express myself, I hit the gym like for 2 hours.
Oh, amen.
And same. I know there's a lot of women who are in that mindset and probably not even knowing maybe why they are doing the gym for as long or what they're doing. But I think maybe now people have a little more of a different perception of fitness. It's not just like getting big or getting skinny. Like there's a lot of psychology and a lot of emotions behind it. Can you share a little bit, because you are a fitness person, I'm a yoga person, about your experience with that?
Yeah, I mean, how long do we have? Because I keep going on and on. For me, and I think this is the case for many of us, it hit especially hard during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When we were all locked into our homes. And for me, it was just 2 years outside of my home country where we have a lot of sun. We have a lot of family togetherness, people coming together every opportunity. And suddenly here I was in an apartment with my husband, and the days outside were gray and cold and we didn't know very many people. So I think the one thing that kept me going was training. It for me, I think, breathed new life into the whole concept of mental health. It brought me that in with myself where I kind of started understanding myself a little bit better. And it got me through those days. And now that it's over and we are back to normal life, if I dare call it normal life, I think I have a newfound respect for it, where now I look at it primarily as for my mental health.
Yeah. Do you notice the women coming to you and the women coming to the classes that you are teaching also have a different perception and mindset as well?
Absolutely.
Like the way that they're practicing and their mindset on that?
Completely. I mean, you will always get the odd person A who's going to come in and say, look, I need to lose 20 pounds.
Of course, I get that in yoga as well. Like, you know, I'm just here because I want to fit into a bikini on the
weekend.
Absolutely. Fantastic. That's fine.
I mean, good for you. Yeah. No hate. But yes, more and more I notice people coming in because they attribute their mental wellness to it. And because therapy now is being so normalized and so talked about.
Yeah.
Not just here, but also where I'm from.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Absolutely. So I think with that, people have started understanding that while fitness and working out and endorphins are great, they do not equate therapy.
Yeah.
It's something that goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And that's why I see people getting more and more comfortable recognizing the mental benefits of working out.
Well, moving your body is, I mean, I think it's scientific now, is one of the best things to do if you are suffering from depression. If you're in a fog, I mean, moving the body, whether it's cycling, whether it's walking. And I think hitting the gym or going to a yoga class, and I think a lot of yogis now do the gym. I do myself. I still do weights. I do it at home. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think having the balance of strength and flexibility for me, particularly as I get older, is something that is I practice and something that I want to hold on to as I get older. And I think a lot of people are realizing that it's good to have a balance, like not just to be extreme in one way or extreme in the other way, but the body is duality.
Yeah.
Like it's not just one thing. It's like different elements and it changes and fluctuates as well.
Yeah. And I think it reflects, our body reflects who we are, right? There's so many versions of us that crop up, and there's so many versions of us that die. And I think the version that takes center stage is the version that we nurture and is the most kind of beautiful amalgamation of all.
Yeah.
And that's why I think coming together of yoga, weight training, everything definitely does go hand in hand.
So would you be open, or would you do any boot class like you did back home? would that be something that you would, like, I don't know, a boot camp retreat or something?
Oh, that sounds so good, Tanya. Yes, you've inspired me.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome, right? To do a weekend and, yeah, to do like a boot camp training would be, particularly for people who perhaps don't like to be in a gym situation, but want to be like outside in the fresh air and combine it with the ocean or nature or walking or something like that.
That sounds absolutely amazing.
I'll sign up.
Do it. Yeah,
I would love to do that, because I think learning skills, how I've seen you on Instagram, and you lift some pretty heavy weights, girl. Like, you're little. Like, I think, you know, I call myself baby Mike Tyson. Like, you know, I can get really, I can do some weights, but you lift some pretty heavy weights.
I try.
Yeah. So how did you get to that point, and how often do you lift like heavy weights?
I make it a point to lift and stick to a weight training program about 4 to 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the week, I kind of play around, maybe HIIT, maybe cardio, but I make sure 4 to 5 times. And it started for me because I started noticing that with a HIIT form of training, doing that constantly, it kind of tires your body. It's great in small doses when done with a combination of other things. But for the long run, focusing on building muscle, getting stronger, that's an investment. And it's an investment.
That's a good word to use.
Yeah.
It is an investment.
I mean, and if you start in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whenever you start, you're kind of securing a healthier vessel for yourself. And particularly as women, our bone density goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Menopause, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put that time into building muscle and you commit to it, it's not a one-time fix.
Yeah.
It becomes a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
You're looking after yourself. You're looking after your family through yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
it's a very good point. Yeah. Words of wisdom that you can leave us today.
Wisdom. Oh, I don't know if I'm wise yet, but
Or pearls of wisdom that you've kind of been shared or learned on your path in fitness. I know you mentioned a little bit, obviously, it helps you with mental health as well, and just being feeling strong, not just physically, but also mentally as well. I think that does it a lot when you lift heavy weights, because you need to be really present. Like, you can't be off with the fairies. No. You need to be very present when you're lifting that amount of weights. So what wisdom have you learned in your little journey of life? Because I know that you're very young still.
Well, I mean, I think, well, as a coach, okay, so I feel like with weights, I can come up with many, many metaphors, because that's something I feel strongly about. But as a coach and someone who's worked with a lot of women now from all over the world, I think it's super simple. I've learned to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's something that we hear said over and over again, but honestly, as a woman in the fitness industry, just phrasing fitness in a way that appeals to people and does not make them feel like it's a punishment. It makes them realize that working out is something that they can do and not something that they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is super important. And that's what keeps people coming back, not just to your classes, because you don't know the kind of impression you can leave on people.
Yeah.
Even when they move cities or they leave the gym or they kind of take a break for a while, those words, your attitude towards them in that fitness room can really make a mark. And it's something they carry forward with them.
What about motivation? Just want to throw this question in here. Why do you think some people are more motivated than others to stick to a routine of fitness and stay with it?
Yeah.
And then a lot of people maybe start and then a few weeks later, they just like give up. Do you think it is a mindset? Do you think it's something or a skill that can be learned? Or do you think it's just they have a bad coach or it's a bad studio? Like, as a coach in fitness, what do you think it is in your arena?
I think it's a combination of very many things. The thing is, with fitness, because it's a lifelong relationship, it's cyclical, right? Mm-hmm. So even the fittest person, whoever you perceive to be the fittest person, has their days of feeling down in the dumps, yeah. and has their days of feeling, you know, completely Greek goddess-like.
Yeah.
So the key is to work with the ebb and flow of mm-hmm. it. If you are having a slow day, if you feel tired, if you feel unmotivated, ride it, go with yeah. it, trust your body. Patience is key.
Yeah.
Because consistency does not always look linear.
Yeah.
It kind of goes yeah. up and down.
Yeah.
And you need to trust the process and understand this is not a quick fix. It's yeah. not a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
It's lifelong. Just stick with it.
And be kind to yourself, as you said, because I think if you come from that mindset of being kind to yourself, it's the same, I think, approach in yoga as well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to get your leg over your head to be a yogi, but, you know, the path and every day of showing up as well, yeah. I think is really important.
Yeah.
Showing up on the days that you don't want to show up. I think, yeah, it eventually all adds up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Amal, for coming. And I want to give the details to everyone. I'll put it also at the end of the podcast where they can find you. Maybe in the future, guys, there will be a boot camp.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Watch this space.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya. My pleasure.
Thank you.